Welcome to the original Italian American podcast, Italian American Life with Frankie D. And we are at ItalianAmericanLife.com. My guest today is Lynn Scolaro, who is a retired Italian teacher of 40 years and the current president of Sons and Daughters of Italy in America, which the acronym is SADIA. Lynn, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Frank. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you. Thank you for your time. And we're going to talk all about that and your upcoming event, Carnevale, which, you know, I'm no expert in Carnevale at all. So I'm looking forward to learning a little bit about what actually Carnevale is. But before we get into all that, tell me about your Italian family background, where the family is from.
So we are from the Veneto region. Both my parents hail from the province of Padova, where St. Anthony is from. And my father was born in Italy, long story, but was born in Italy, and he ended up coming to Chicago after meeting my mother through her uncle. But he started in Canada, spent 4 years in Alaska, went back to Italy to visit his mom, heard these people who were speaking the Venetian dialect on the boat. They were all seasick, and he helped take care of them. They invited them to Chicago, and the rest is history. He is from Loreggia, which is actually my city of residence because I'm a dual citizen. And my mother is also from Padova, from Galliera Veneta. She was born here, but when she was a little girl, my grandfather wanted to go back to Italy. And so they moved back to Italy. I think my mother was about 9 years old. They stayed there for about a year and a half, but the war was going to break out. And my grandfather felt it was not safe to be up in northern Italy. So they decided to move back. And my grandmother says, we're either staying here and gonna work it out here, or see where we end up after the war, or we're going to Chicago and stay. And so they came back to Chicago and stayed here. And so I still have family on both sides in Italy. I travel as much as I can. I did with my students. And it's just, I'm just very proud of my heritage. All of the things that I do, I learned from my parents because they were very involved in the community, in the Venetian community, bringing everybody together. So it's the apple did not fall far from the tree.
Well, that's wonderful. And that is one city, Padova, that I've never been to. I've been to Venice. But I've never been to Padova, and I would like to visit it one day.
Padova, Verona, Vicenza, all of those cities, Bassano, where the Scalabrinis are from Grappa is from. They're just some beautiful, beautiful towns, like all of Italy. I mean, all of Italy is beautiful, but Veneto is really pretty special.
Well, Verona, now that you mention it, I went to Verona, but it was like one of those things where we were there for a few hours, and I saw the balcony. And that's the most I remember from it. So, yeah, I got to get back to that area and see a lot of new things. That would be
let me know and I'll guide you.
Oh, I would love that. Thank you. Thank you. So a retired Italian teacher for 40 years, four solid decades. Tell me a little bit about that experience.
Oh, it was wonderful. And I would do it. I would do it in a heartbeat all over again. I was just very, very blessed. I knew as a young girl, I never played house or doctor. I always played school with all my stuffed animals and dolls, and there was chalk dust all over the house. And I always wanted to be a teacher, but I wanted to be an elementary school teacher until I got to high school. And my Italian high school teacher, Inez Turris, one of my heroes, I don't say heroes, one of my mentors. She changed my life with my Italian language and heritage. We knew a little bit of the dialect at home, but we spoke primarily English. And I loved it so much. And I did a study abroad, actually, when I was in college. I spent 6 months living in Rome, actually. And so, but even as a little girl, when we would go back to Italy to see my relatives, I had my one uncle who recently passed, who was from Milan. And, you know, they really were so involved in our Italian culture and art and history that as a young girl, that captured me. And I didn't realize how much until I got to high school. And then I went on to be an Italian teacher so I could have the best of both worlds. I could be the preschool teacher with teaching Italian one and being their first teacher, and then really continuing with the love of our culture. And it started out just, we started out just as language teachers, but then there was so much about our culture and so much about our heritage and so many things that are unique that I began to teach through culture. And not just through language first. So it was wonderful. I began teaching at Mother Guerin, which I had gone to Guerin and graduated from there. I went on to Rosary College, which is now Dominican, and I earned my degree there. And my first job was at Mother Guerin, and then I went to Prospect High School and retired from there.
Well, I like that you said, because I think it is so important. It's not just Italian te it's not just teaching the language. I like
Yes.
that now, and it seems like, I don't know, maybe that's more of a thing in recent years where it's the language and culture, because
Right.
that's so important. And
Right.
if you had, which I'm assuming you probably had a really good percentage of Italian American kids that were your students. A lot of them needed to learn culture, and that was an avenue to do it. So.
It started out when I first started teaching, we had all the students, the Italian students from Norwich, Elmwood Park, Melrose Park, who had a bit of the dialect in them, or their grandparents were speaking the dialect and maybe some of their parents. But learning the Italian language was a lot different. And so what's nice about our culture and heritage is that it's so, it's regional. So you learn something from every region and we all learn from each other. I learned even so much more from them as well. And it is about our heritage and culture. And there were things that kids didn't know about our culture, even some of their parents, because they were just so not stuck in their own region. But
Regional.
you I mean, you grew up that way, your did your traditions in your homes, and it just expanded that for everybody. And it was we all learned so much. I mean, I'm it's a true blessing for me because I learned so much from so many people and so many of my students. It was great.
Well, I applaud you, because that is work of retaining our culture. That really is, that is so important. And these classes are so important. And that's why every time if a school loses their Italian program, it really, really saddens me, because that's a major blow to us.
Right. And I'll tell you, the hardest part was teaching, not the hardest part, is most pleasurable was teaching the culture and the heritage. But that took a lot of work because, there's not a lot out there. There wasn't a lot out there. So, it was a lot by interview, by visiting, by talking with people. So the language part was easy to teach. But the culture was so much more fun, and it took a lot of work because we didn't have materials. So I made all my own materials, as we kind of alluded to before this. I'm the PowerPoint queen, I guess, because I had to bring that visual to life in class, and it was just it was a lot of work, but I loved every minute of it. That's probably one of the things I missed the most.
Did you partake in trips to Italy with the students?
I did. So I have been to Italy 43 times in my life. And
Wow.
I used to take what I call the hotel tours. I used to take my kids on the 10 days to 2 week tours of Italy, going from region to region and hotel to hotel, which was lovely. But then I decided after one of my high school teachers had done an exchange, she says, "You really need to do an exchange." It got to be more difficult with the kids with the internet and things. They got a little smarter. And you have to be careful when you're out with kids who are underage and stuff. And it was wonderful. I mean, I loved every minute of it. But then she says, "You need to do an exchange." And I was like, "Oh, I can't bring kids to somebody else's house." And make a long story short, the last 20 trips with kids were the exchange with the high school in Verona, and it was the most exciting part. That was probably one of my top two of my the top two of my top five in my teaching career. Actually having your kids live in a house speaking Italian with really hardly anyone other than their partner speaking English. And through that, we were able to get, we made a lot of relationships with companies and things because I wanted kids to see the business portion, the culture, the heritage, the language, the food. And so I had done many years, we would always go to the olive oil mill Redoro. And after having been there, getting to know the family all those years, they offered me a 100,000, 120,000 euro grant to do an international internship with my students, with my AP students. And so for 4 years, I was able to do that. And we had a program at in District 214 was their career pathways, where you would try to match careers with your subject matter. And I thought, what am I going to do with Italian? Where are we going to go from that? Having this internship with Redoro, I was able to put the kids in groups according to their career path: marketing, sales, education, health. We even had kids who were in the sciences, and I paired them up, and we did all of that through the olive oil. And through those 4 years, we were able to award $65,000 in scholarships to kids, return internships to Italy to work with the company and get to know the company. And it was just an amazing, amazing experience. So there were a lot of little life skills, I guess a lot of big life skills that came out of all of that. And it was wonderful because we really got to know, I learned how to run a company sort of, because I had to, in order to help the kids. But we made so many relationships in Italy and here in the United States. And it was just a wonderful experience for kids. So I did, I think out of the 43 trips to Italy, probably I would say 35 or 36 of them, maybe probably about 35, were with students.
Wow, that's
Yeah.
a lot, and that's not easy. And
No.
the deal with the olive oil company, that's fascinating. I mean,
It
that's just
was.
great stuff, hands-on. You're getting the kids interested, but they're learning important experiences, and that's wonderful, just wonderful. What did I want to ask you? I wanted to ask you. So you said the exchange program. So now, did you? You were responsible for housing these kids from Italy here.
So what I did is I reached out to some of my friends and I said, oh, I think I want to do an exchange with a high school in Verona. And was Verona in another city a little closer to my hometown. And a friend of mine had said, oh, I met this Italian professor who was studying at the U of I. He's an Italian English teacher in Verona. Let me hook you up with him. And so I did. And he had my friend Claudio. We're like two peas in a pod, actually. And he had been doing exchanges with, because in Italy they do a lot of them through Germany and all over Europe. And she says he's always wanted to come to the United States. So he actually had all the experience. And what we did is we capped it at 20 students. And we had applications, and he would help me, and we to together we would place our students in the homes with the kids. And when they were here, we took them all over. They got to see all the sights and sounds of Chicago and the foods and everything about us. And then they would go to Italy and do the same thing. And they would spend some days in class, and they would go even to some of the different classes, not just the Italian class, but they would go to all the other, they would follow their partner. It was wonderful. So it was just really great. You know, we always had to go at spring break, and oftentimes it was around Easter time, and it was great because just the things that happen in Italy, that, you know, Christmas is kind of not this, and it's not the same for everyone, but you know, you kind of can get the glimpse of, you know, Christmas here and there. But Italy is just Easter time in Italy is just so unique. And so it was really very cool. Yeah, it was a lot of
That's
fun.
just great. That's great. And I am, and I talk about it a lot on these podcast episodes. I'm a huge fan of sending our younger people
Yes.
to Italy. That is so
Yeah.
important. That is a cultural and ethnical shot on steroids. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It just really is so important. And I wish, and great job to you, but I wish we could send like thousands of, 20
Yes.
year olds to Italy as an organized trip, as an organized Italian America. I wish we could do that. If I hit that lottery one day, that's what I will definitely back, because that's what we need. We need to have that. And that would start to make, I believe, a little bit of a difference.
I would love to continue that with my years of experience and my connections throughout Italy and my friends who have connections in other part of Italy. I think that's wonderful, and I think, you know, I'd like to do something through my organization. I've got my brain is starting to think a little bit as I get older. I think more
Well, you know
and
what we need to
wanting to
do?
provide those, yeah.
Yes, we need to find that even just that one man or woman, let's be honest, very wealthy and wants to make a difference, because you
And you
need
know
that
what?
one.
And you know what? It's really not it's not that costly, because when you think of these trips to Italy for $5,000 a person, with the exchange, our students paid for their airfare, and then they would pay for everything their partner did here. And then I did some fundraising to do group things, because they would go, we'd send them to the Art Institute. We would do we would do a breakfast kind of thing at a local restaurant. They would show them how to make the American breakfast. We did all those things, and we paid for everything here. When we got to Italy, we were their guests. So they paid for everything there, and it really worked out. And I think at the time, and it would be a little bit more now because of airfare, but I think if my students spent $2,500 overall, unless they were buying something extravagant, that's what that experience cost them, because they're living with the family and it makes a big deal of difference. You know, where they go, the kid went, you know. And so it's not as costly as we think it is. We just need the problem in the United States is that we're always worried about liability. I had the hardest time all the time because the district was always worried about liability, this. And I would go to Italy with a stack of the documents that were signed and notarized. And the Italians would just get on the plane with their passport. So, you know, it was we're always worried about those things, but you know, I think it can be done. So, Frank, I'll keep you
Well,
posted.
let's, yes.
My wheels are turning, and I
Good.
think by 2026, I know it sounds like a long way away, but it does take some time. I think I have something we can put into place. So.
Good, good. Oh, good. I like that. Okay. So, in your retired years now, you have become the president of the Sons and Daughters of Italy in America
Yeah.
saga. Tell me
Yeah.
a little bit about that, what that exactly is.
So, Sons and Daughters of Italy in America, our motto is integrity, unity, and familia. Our goal is to preserve and promote our Italian heritage and culture. And being the Sons and Daughters of Italy, we are not one region, which there's it's wonderful all the regional organizations that there are, but we get every you know we have everybody from all the regions that are part of that. And we were incorporated in 2008. And I am starting my second term. I was just reelected to a second term right now. And we do we work within the community. We give at least I think this year we did 9 scholarships for students. We probably around $28,000 in donations to local and national charities. We support the Italian community. We are
Not to
about
interrupt. Are you part of like a national group? Because that
no,
sounds
we are not.
you are
There
not.
are national organizations that have names similar to ours, but we are not part of them. We are based out of Schaumburg.
And that's it. There's
And
one
that's it. There's
chapter.
just one of us. Yeah.
Okay.
There's just one of us. And so we provide service within the community and donations and scholarships. Every meeting, I always do something heritage, because that's what we're there for. You can't just come to a meeting, eat, and leave. So we always have a heritage portion at our meetings. I'm teaching everyone to sing the national anthem, the Italian anthem. So we sing the anthem. We wish everybody a happy birthday for their birthday month, and everyone is singing in Italian. So trying to push all of that out there. I send things to the organization as well, and mostly, you know, providing service. We did Feed My Starving Children. Our major event, our major community event is Septemberfest, where for since 2008 we have been, even before, this group has been running the beer and beverage tent at Septemberfest in Schaumburg Labor Day weekend. And that's where we are able to, thank goodness for good weather, raise the majority of our money to be able to do all the things that we get to do. And so it's great to be part of the Schaumburg community as well. We donate to the Schaumburg community, and then, like I said, the Italian the Italian community, both local and on a national level, to those
That's
who need
great.
us the most. Yes. And
That's
our charities are Schomburg and also the other charities we do. We engage our members in giving us who they would like to, offering who they would like to give these charities to. So it's a group effort, actually.
So in I guess a couple months or less than a couple months, you have an event coming up, a Carnivale event. First of
Seven
all, how many
weeks.
years have you done it? Were you the one that started this through
Yes.
Sadia? And tell me about the event, but also tell me about Carnivale. What exactly is Carnivale?
So Carnivale is celebrated annually, beginning 58 days before Easter. And Carnivale really means goodbye to meat. And it ends on Mardi Gras or Fat Tuesday or Marte di Grasso. And on Carnivale, ogni scherzo vale, lots of tricks and things like that. And the Venetian tradition is most famous for its mask and elaborate costumes. And the legend says the Carnivale originated at the victory of the Repubblica della Santissima. Term of endearment for Venezia around the year 1162. And people started to dance and make reunions in San Marco. And it's become very popular with masked balls and a time of decadence and debauchery because you can do almost anything behind a mask and no one will know who you are. And if you go back through the legend, through the history of the masks and the Commedia dell'arte actually is where it started. It goes back to the days of a lot of a lot of characters and Arlecchino, some of those different Carnivale characters, and there were a lot of things that happened during Carnivale time. Like I said, with the masks, you didn't people didn't know who you were. A lot of business transactions that would take place that weren't supposed to, a lot of romantic transactions that weren't supposed to take place. So it really goes back to the 16th and 18th century
And
with the
it's
Commedia.
mainly it traces its roots to the Veneto region, correct?
The Veneto region, yes, through the Veneto region with the Commedia dell'arte, but then of course it's expanded and there's different places throughout Italy and throughout the world that also do Carnivale. But in Venezia, they try to really maintain what it originally was with these characters and the performances and things.
Well, thank you. That was a great description. I just learned a lot because I knew basically none of that. So no, that was wonderful. So
Well,
when,
one more to
yes.
think about. The mask makers had to be, they were, they had to, had this code of silence because people, the only person who could know who was behind the mask were the mask makers. So if that got out at any time, because you had the rich and famous, but then you had people who were poor that could also be part of this event, this debauchery, this decadence, because the mask really didn't tell who you were. So those mask makers were held to a very high regard and could also lose their life if for some reason someone found out who was behind one of their masks.
Interesting, like a priest
Yeah.
with
It was,
confession.
yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah, it was
ending
the mascherata. It was the secrecy of the mask. And they enjoyed a very special position in society with their own laws and guilds and were held to a very high secret standard.
Wow, very interesting.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah. So how long have you been doing this event with Sadia?
So this is our third year. And when I became president, aside from Septemberfest, I wanted to do something that would include the community and people to get to know who Sadia was, because Sadia was always just based in Schaumburg. And you know me, I kind of expand through within the community and stuff. And so I wanted to share what this organization was about, but I wanted to do something again, heritage-wise. I didn't want to do another dinner dance, and there's nothing wrong with all of those. With everyone has been having their dinner dances and those types of parties for years and years and years, and I think that's wonderful. And I'm there and you're there. And I just want to do something different. I want to add the same layer to what's already out there. So I had always had a wonderful lesson on Carnivale with my students, and we did all kinds of things in class. And I thought, wow, we can do something like this, and I wonder if it would work. So 3 years ago, I said we're going to do this. And so what it's very much just like it is in Venezia. In Venezia, it starts, the mass ball start at midnight and they go till 4 in the morning. Ours starts at noon and goes until 4 o'clock. See, I bet you didn't know that there was a reason for
No,
that
I
time.
did not know that.
Right, I know. Yeah, we do it on a Sunday afternoon because we have a lot, especially in the wintertime, we have a lot of members and guests who are a little older and with the cold and the darkness. So I thought, what a nice way to spend a Sunday afternoon. And so we do the meal like they do in Italy. So they do this extravagant buffet ahead of time, and all of the appetizers and so forth. The little cicchetti, this is something very, it's almost like the Venetian version of a tapas, right? The little bites. And then after they do that, probably about 2 in the morning, they would do a spaghettata. And so what they do is all different kinds of pasta, and you would have lettuce salad and pasta. And so that's what we do. We do the extravagant buffet, which the Empress does a fabulous job for us. And then we have our salad course, and then we do three different types of pastas, try to mix them up a little bit. Last year, we did the pasta with the anchovies, Venetian style. And throughout the event, in the very beginning, especially during the cocktail hour, we have street entertainment like you would find in San Marco. So we have a still walker, we have jugglers, we have some singers, we have some dancers, we have music in front of the big panorama of Venezia where you can take your picture. And I had said, costumes were welcome. And I thought, no, who's going to want to get dressed up in a costume? Well, that first year, there were so many people in costumes. And now you hear everybody talking from year to year, I have to get my costume ready. I want to make this next year. And it's just really nice to see some people, many people in costume. And then, of course, we have music. So there's always dancing because there's dancing all over Italy and everywhere. But I also wanted to recognize someone. I didn't want to do a man or woman of the year because, again, that's a lot of pressure on that person. And all I wanted to do was to be able to recognize and say thank you to key figures. So what we do is the first year we recognized Nancy and Daryl from Casa Italia. And then we thought, we're Schomburg based, we need to include Schomburg as well. So last year we decided as a board to recognize someone from Schomburg, because that's where we're from, and also someone from the Italian community. So last year we did Katie Garcia, who is the owner of no longer the restaurant Ricardo's, but just a phenomenal human being. Just her generosity, kindness, service was just unbelievable. And we recognized Joseph Carmada of Joseph's Finest Meats. And all we did was say thank you. We just did a nice little presentation. Thank you, and let people know who they were and what they had done for both communities. This year, we are recognizing the mayor of Schaumburg, Mayor Tom Daley, and Elio Bartolotta from the Italian community of Elio Pizza and Fire. For he's not just a pizza guy, when people real don't realize just how much Elio does for our entire community. So we're really looking forward to recognizing both of those, and just something short and sweet, but a way to say thank you in a gentle, kind sort of way.
That's all great, and that's I'm just laughing because you're going to honor Mayor Daley.
Yes, I know, right?
I'm sorry. If you're from Chicago, Mayor Daley really means something, not to the people outside of Chicago. But when you said that, I just started laughing inside.
And you're not the only one. And it's funny because people will say, you're spelling his name wrong. I'm like, no, this is the way he spells his name. So it's really very interesting. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. So,
Yeah, no, it's a great event. I love that it's something different. Like you
right.
said, we do the same things over and over, and it's a fun event. And the food, I mean, I love pasta, and I think that's awesome the way you present the pastas, a beautiful spaghettata. I love a spaghettata.
Yeah. We
So.
started out in the beginning, the first year, I thought, boy, if I got 100 people, I'd be lucky. And we ended up maxing out. We were supposed to max out at 200. We were at 225. And last year, we took the whole venue and sold out 10 days before. So I'm hoping that that will repeat itself today. People do look forward to this event because it's a little different. And I think we're looking for something a little fun and different after the holidays. So.
In that case, tell us, how do we find you? How do we get tickets? How do we find Sadia if we want to get involved?
So our website is www.sadia-chicago.org. So we have our website there. You can always email me. I am president@sadia-chicago.org as well. Our website, the main page right now, has everything to do with Carnevale. You can go online to order to make your reservation. We also have a QR code I can provide. The reservations are open now. We already have reservations coming in, and they are $85 a person for the event. We don't do an ad book, but we do sponsorships. So if anyone is interested in our sponsorship levels, 100% of your sponsorship goes to scholarships, because ad books are wonderful, but we know, and again, I provide as much as I can to help. We know that they help our organizations, but I wanted our sponsorships to make a difference in our scholarships. So our sponsorships go 100% to our scholarship program that we award scholarships every year in June. And we also try to bring back those who have given our sponsorships so they can actually meet the students that they are providing scholarship money to. Our levels start from anywhere from $50 to $1,500. So it doesn't have to be an extraordinary amount of money. Just we package those up in endowments. And it's really fun, because it's great, because the scholarships do come from the community.
Well, Lynn, thank you for all you're doing and all you've done for 4 decades plus now,
Thank
because
you.
we need people like you. We need people like you to try to, maintain and even, help create this dam so that the water doesn't flow through, because, we all know what's happening in society today. It's almost 2025, and things are different. So we got to keep doing this stuff. God bless you for all the work you're
Thank
doing.
you. I think we're on an upswing. We started out when I was president, we started out with 25 members. This year we're ending at 125. Former students are joining. People who are members are talking about it with their family and friends. I think we are at a time when they need something, and to go back to the heritage that perhaps they lost or maybe didn't get while they were growing up for whatever reasons. So I think we're in a really good place right now, and I'm just really excited to be part of it. Reach
Well,
out
you were a
and.
big part of it, and that's great news, because that's what we need. We need enthusiasm, we need participation, and we need vision, and you bring all that. And let's keep this tide rolling, because it's now or never. That's the way I look at it, right?
Exactly.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for the
Thank you for
interview.
having me.
Can't wait to see you at Carnevale, and have a merry, merry Christmas.
Buon Natale, buon anno a tutti.